Well, we're joined now, Senior Vice President of Communications for the National Milk Producers Federation, Alan Bierga, is back with us again today. Hey, Alan, good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Well, I tell you what a swing over the last 2 weeks. This is stunning in terms of the dairy producers out there. Tell us the news. Tell us what's happening out there.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really expected this robust of a turnaround. I think it actually, in its own way, of course, you learn to be nervous about pretty much everything. So you don't want to count your chickens before they hatch or your milk revenue before it's sold. But right now, you've seen a pretty startling price recovery in dairy. You know, we're looking at an all-milk price based on futures forecasts for the year about a buck and a half higher per hundredweight than we were expecting just a month ago. Now, for some perspective, you know, we're still talking about a year priced in the 17s, which, you know, that just puts you back in the ballpark where you were during that price slump in the second half of the last decade. But, you know, difficult is one thing, catastrophic is another, and it seems like the catastrophe may be averted, especially when you put into place not just the price turnaround, but the federal backstop that has been implemented. You know, you take a look at a program like DMC, which for those who enrolled in it, it's working as it was intended. The Commodity Food Assistance Program has some pretty robust aid for dairy producers as well. And then these food box purchases, you know, the targeted federal purchases do a good job of putting a support price under the market and signaling that there will be demand for these products. You put all that together with some signs of some recovery in food service demand, and you have what has been a pretty dramatic rally in dairy prices since late April, early May.
Well, and the economy's starting to open up. Restaurants, bars, all of those folks are starting to open back up now. Pizza places, those types of things. So it would look like maybe that demand from that side of the equation, that sector, also may be helping a little bit as well, right?
Yeah, it's steady as she goes. I mean, these reopenings are happening in different phases in different parts across the country. And, of course, people are very closely, you know, looking at the COVID-19 data to make sure that we don't have any sort of a relapse that could lead to a second wave and another round of shutdown. So you keep your fingers crossed on that. It's also very possible that you're not going to see food service ever recover for some time back to what it was. But anything that reestablishes a somewhat normal supply chain, again, combined with those federal food assistance purchases, does make you feel like, you know, the milk dumping can end, the supply chains can continue. It all plays together. You know, one other thing that I would note too, and I'd be remiss not to do this if as someone who represents dairy cooperatives, you know, cooperative based plants, efforts to get supply under control and aligned with demand were very effective. You saw a lot of co-op level incentives that did a good job of getting this under control. And of course, that ultimately comes down to the dairy farmers. You know, they know what they're doing. They know how to adjust to this market. I think everyone was pretty surprised and pretty impressed at how quickly that supply situation was able to turn around. And a lot of credit for getting this rally going is frankly the hard work of the farmers themselves.
And the other thing out there, we should also be thanking as well the consumers out there, because I think the consumers, and you know, I've talked the last couple of days here as to whether or not maybe we've retrained the consumer out there, finding the joys of cooking at home again, and then going back to the basics of basics like fluid milk, butter, and cheese.
Well, that's going to be the big question going forward, because if you have seen a permanent shift in consumer behavior and a structural shift, a more of a balance toward cooking at home, that potentially can say some very positive things for dairy products, just in what you mentioned. You know, and it's the increase also not just of fluid milk purchases, and of course fluid milk, a lot of a fluid milk dollar goes back to the farmer compared with processed products. You know, you have more purchase of cereal for home use. You know, you have more people buying milk and cream to put in their coffee at home. This is all helping with that retail trend. And what's also interesting is that now that we're past sort of the panic period and into this new normal, you see this reliance on dairy purchases maintained. You take a look at the overall jump in grocery store purchases in general, because, of course, they've been one of the places people can go. Sales are up. but you see dairy product sales actually being higher consistently than grocery increases as a whole. That shows a shift in consumer behavior toward dairy. And if that can be maintained, this could be a long-term benefit for the sector as a whole.
And, you know, people, we know this, people have to eat. And one of the major food groups is dairy.
Yeah, and that gets you sort of turning to look ahead on other things. You know, the dietary guidelines recommendations are going to be out pretty soon. And they're going to be talking about, you know, looking at what products people should be having. One piece of information that we're seeing, and this would be a maintenance of what we've seen before, is that this panel takes a look at what nutrients are Americans missing in their diets. And on a lot of those nutrients that are missing, dairy is a leading source of those nutrients. You know, that bodes well in the dietary guidelines, and that also bodes well for people, again, shopping, looking at labels, figuring out what their family need, and making, frankly, an affordable choice and a nutritious choice for what can help their families.
And the vegetable milk or the nut milk, all of that, they do not have any of those nutrients in them, or very few, or a lot less than the real dairy.
Hey, I'm going to give a nod to the plant-based folks because I you know, my journalistic background is too deep not to just give short shrift to the gains of other industries. Plant-based sales have been up during this crisis as well, and you'll hear them talk about their percentage gains. I would note they're from a much smaller base of sales, and in overall volume, they cannot compare with dairy. We all saw it when things were flying off the store shelves in March. You couldn't get a gallon of milk to save your soul, but there was plenty of flax stuff sitting up there on shelves. That's another image for consumers I think people are going to remember, and as they recalibrate their own values, I think dairy is in an excellent position to compete.
There we go. All right, Alan. Always great information. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks again, okay?
Talk to you soon.
Alan Birga here today, Senior Vice President of Communications for the National Milk Producers Federation, and that today is Farm Talk.